Welcome to the Mommy Beta Podcast. This is the official episode one. If you listen to our beta test, thank you for doing that. But that wasn't the real deal. This is the real deal. We have all four Mommy Betas on the line. We have Natalie. I am also Natalie. And we have Alex and Jennifer. So, woohoo. Thanks for joining, girls.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello.
So the point of this podcast is to discuss the things that we're blogging about on mommybeta.com. And we all live pretty far from each other, although the other three girls live in the same area in California. I live in New York City, but we don't see each other quite as much. But we started the blog so that we could talk about motherhood as we were going through it. And it became the place that we sort of figure things out and bounce ideas off each other. But then we thought how fun it would be if we actually did talk about it once a week. So that's why we're on the line here to discuss the things that we are blogging about. Isn't that right, ladies?
It is.
Yes.
And something that I wrote about since the pilot episode was push presents. And I mean, I love jewelry. I love it as a special gift. My parents have given it to me growing up for graduations and other special occasions. So the idea of a push present, the idea of getting something special when your child is born, I think is really interesting and really special. But there's something about the term push present that just really bothers me. I don't know if it's vulgar, or maybe it's also part of it that you're expecting a gift where, you know, maybe your baby should be the gift. That was something that kind of came up. We got a pitch from somebody who was launching a website for push presents. And, you know, he was a really nice guy and he's very on topic, but it just rubbed me the wrong way. So we got some interesting comments. And I think all of you ladies had your own opinions about push presents too, didn't you?
Yeah, this is Alex. I agree with you, Natalie, that the word push present is kind of vulgar. I don't like that. But I will say I did get a gift of some sort, and it wasn't expected, but just something. I mean, just like anything else, you know, you graduate, the present is graduating and moving on. Your birthday, you know, another year has passed by. But the idea behind the gift that I received was more something that I can keep with me and wear and always think of Reese and my husband. And then also, and when she turns 18, I'd like to give it to her. And it's just a little pendant necklace. So that was just more sentimental for me.
And I think that, the term itself, I think it's just catchy. I was trying to think of the other day how someone came up with it and how it caught on so fast. But I guess because it really is sort of kind of funny. I just think it's kind of sad because it's gone from such a sentimental, sweet gesture from a husband on, you know, this great moment in your life to being something that's so expected. And people sometimes when they see you, they're like, oh, so what was your push present? Not, oh, my husband really got me this great, sweet gift to mark the, you know, the birth of our child. They're like, oh, yeah, well, what was it? You know, so.
That's so true.
It's more of the, I feel sad because, like, the guy feels pressure, like, oh, I've got to get something. Not only do I have this child coming that I'm trying to prepare for, but what if my wife hates her push present? And maybe it's not that case, but they're, you know, just judging from that website that they sent us, I mean, celebrity push presents are, you know, incredible or way over the top, in my opinion. But
like
I just
a pony
felt like
or something
like crazy diamonds.
Oh. Here's a pony.
You won't be getting on that after giving birth.
Oh, no. Heck no. As someone put it to me recently, after you give birth, I think I'm the only one who actually did not have a C-section, but it feels right. Like someone took a sledgehammer to your private parts.
Oh,
there's
goodness.
No pony riding right after.
Oh. Right after any kind of riding after.
Well, I guess the question too is if the women, who I think three of us, you know, had cesareans, as you mentioned, Natalie, don't have to push, do we still get the present?
Yeah.
Good point.
Okay. Absolutely.
Well, you guys did some pushing, open. Right? Some of you did some pushing, didn't you, or no?
I don't think
no.
any of us got pushing.
No.
Oh, okay. None of us reached 10, so I think that's when you have to.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I did the pushing and it's hard. Although Clayton had said, you know, afterwards I asked, I was like, was it hard for you to see me in pain? He goes, you didn't really look like you were in pain. It looked like you were just working out. I was like, where's my iPod and my sweatbands? I just haven't.
Well, out of all of us, Natalie, I think you were the most done up.
You know, I wasn't, though.
Well, but you were scheduled, so you knew you were going in.
That's true. I got up super early, and I was anxious, so I did curl my hair.
You looked gorgeous.
I was so afraid that Natalie and I had talked about this. I'm like, I don't care how good looking you are. Most women look like a Sasquatch after their And I think I looked pretty Sasquatchian, but thank you for saying that.
You look absolutely.
You know, and maybe it's just sort of the nomenclature of like you're pushing someone to give you a present instead of it just sort of sounds sort of funny. And yeah, I think that we, especially in a world where we have shows like Pregnant in Heels, where these women are getting blow dries of their hair and professional makeup jobs in order to go into labor, it's just become something where you're like, worship me, I'm the pregnant woman. And I'm glad we had some of that. But I was, you know, at the same time, I was very practical about it. I told him what it was because he had never heard of it before. And I asked for a house cleaning. Awesome. Can we just have a maid service about a month after the baby's born? Because I'm going to be so overwhelmed. I'm like, that's all I want from you. But I did get flowers as well.
Aw, good job, Clayton.
Well, we could also, I mean, on another episode, we'll have to talk about baby moons.
What's baby moons?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow. So people, the whole new thing about people having babies is they go on this baby moon, similar to a honeymoon, but it's a vacation that you take right before the baby. It's husband and wife. So Josh and I, it was more of an excuse just to get away. It's like, this is our last time to get away, so we're going to go take a little vacation. It was just a few days, but it was nice.
That's fun.
Well, and really quick, just back to push presents, because I have to give a shout out to my husband since all of you ladies got to share what you received. He gave me a sweet little locket with her name engraved and her birth date on it. Well, we got that engraved afterwards. But
that's really sweet.
Oh, I love that. All right, Alex, do you want to talk about sharing? That's what you've been writing about lately.
Or lack of sharing. Yes. So I took Reese to the park with one of her little girlfriends. She's an 8-month-old baby and Reese is 10 months. And they both wanted this one toy. There's a video on our blog. They were grabbing away, taking it away from each other, just going back and forth. And this lasted for like 10 minutes. And my friend Wendy, the other mother, and I just laughed at the situation. We weren't quite sure what to do about it. We thought it was cute until one of the babies started crying. And we tried to distract. And a few of the distractions worked, but only for a minute. And then the crying continued. So we took the toy away, out of sight, out of mind, and they were fine. But I posed a question asking, you know, what do you do in this situation? How do you teach a baby to share? And I think I know the answer. Part of the answer is that you can't really teach, though it's just babies that young don't understand the concept of sharing. And it's not until they're a toddler. I think I heard around 2, but I haven't done my research yet to know for sure. But I think it's around 2 they start to understand. But I did, I posted a question on Golden Gate Mothers Forum. It's a forum here in San Francisco for moms. And I asked what moms have done in this situation. And I really liked what somebody had to say. And it was similar to what we did, is just take it away if one of them starts crying. But if they're just going back and forth playing and no one's crying, no one's getting hurt from it, then they're just learning. And also when you're, if it's just like mommy and baby playing, demonstrate taking turns, say something like, okay, now it's mommy's turn. Oh, good sharing. And I really liked that, just leading by example. So I would love to hear what you guys
I was just going to say, Brees and Miles are about the same age. They're just a week apart. And the baby center emails that tell us what they're learning this week did say that this is the age where they'll like to pass things back and forth. And so I've noticed Miles will do that. He'll take something and then he'll try and give it to me and then take it back. So it could just be that they're learning to exchange, but they're not going to understand the concept of sharing. So I like the idea of actually naming it, where you're like, this is actually what we're doing. And it's so funny because Miles now likes to share his bottle, so he'll take a sip of it and then and then offer it to me, and I'm like, thank you for that.
Well, at least he doesn't want to share your booby.
Yeah.
With
other. He would.
Yeah, so like, inappropriate.
Hold on.
Yeah, I think like you were, when you're talking about you know, you kind of modeling the good behavior. I think that's the best way to do it, because with certain things like sharing or good manners, how do you explain to a little boy what please means or what thank you means? So just to kind of model that behavior and show them, you know, this is the way we interact. This is the, you know, the kind of the right way to do things. And I think that that's pretty much the only thing you can do at this point is show them by your example what the situation calls for.
Right. But what do you do when one of the babies cries when another baby takes it away?
I think what you did was perfect, is just hide the thing that's causing the problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And then you might be able to just do what Natalie said, you know, just take the toy from both of them and just sort of pass it back to forth and say, okay, Reese, it's, you know, model the behavior. And then there's also repetition. I was reading that book. I just started reading it. Is it called The Martini Playdate or something like that? I'll have to look up the name of it. But it's basically talking about teaching our children manners in today's society and how lots of parents today feel like they are, that their children can't handle scoldings, you know, or I mean, I think at this age, yes, no, they don't understand what we're saying. But, you know, just repeating it over the years, over the months, is just going to reiterate, you know, this type of behavior of being polite and sharing and kind of thing.
Well, that's really interesting. Yeah, I just looked up this book, Three Martini Playdate, A Practical Guide to Happy Parenting. That's so cute. And little boys holding a martini shaker.
It's not, I have to get, order that.
Yeah, it's not how to train your kids to make you martinis. Are we not there yet?
No. You know, actually, it kind of references that in the beginning, though. It talks about how children in the yesteryears were, you know, to be seen and not heard. And, you know, it was, you never just plopped on someone's lap. You were asked if you would like to sit on their lap. And it's kind of funny, actually. I think we should probably slate it for a later date to discuss further. Maybe all of us could get a copy and share what we think about it.
Mommy made a book club.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Oh, that's great.
That's a great idea, especially because the four of us, our friendship started around a book club. So mm-hmm. It would be a good idea to start that. Jennifer's our good little reader as well. And so she sent us all this, actually you were blogging about it, this article about plastic from the New York Times, which scared the bejesus out of all of us. Jennifer, do you want to talk about that?
Yes, I'd like to scare everyone to death. No, but I just couldn't let it weigh on my conscience that, you know, okay, you guys might want to see this too. And I don't think it's necessarily saying, okay, we need to rid plastics of our entire lives, because when you start looking around, you're like, oh my goodness, they're everywhere. So I think it's just really being smart around it. I mean, we've all gotten so caught up in the BPA-free movement, you know, we're, oh, you bought some plastic sippy cups. So, oh, were they BPA free? You know, which basically is a chemical that mimics estrogen. And the study that I guess was conducted by a company found that, I guess, 95% of the plastics that they tested, which all were used for food consumption, found that they leaked chemicals. Whether they were mimicking estrogen or not, but I think they were. They found that 95% of them did leak chemicals. And basically, they chopped up these plastics and let them soak in these solutions, these liquid solutions. And this is what they found. The 95% had to do with, you know, after they were exposed to dishwashing and microwaving, 70% only released chemicals when they hadn't even been exposed to that type of stress. However, the positive news is that 5% of the plastics didn't leak any chemicals at all. So there is a possibility of actually having plastics that don't release any chemicals. And it's still up in the air on whether bisphenol, I think I'm pronouncing it correctly, even has an effect, or what type of effect, because the only tests they've done have been on mice, but basically it's been linked to cancers and heart disease and a couple of other diseases that they feel like it's been linked to. And the main concern here, they had said, has just been on how it will affect children and babies later in life. So how low-dose exposure at sensitive development stages could affect children and babies later in life. So I think that's where the fear comes in with us, of course. So I think we've been discussing it here, and we've just been purchasing glass food storage containers. I think they have stainless steel type dishes nowadays for babies and toddlers. But it's nice that companies are offering these options. But I wouldn't say go as far to remove, you know, your exerciser and your play toys and things like that.
Yeah, even just after reading this, I was like, oh, the baby bath and, you know, the dishes that I warm up his food in, the Mummy and Bubby BPA-free little storage food freezer kits, which I love, are BPA-free, but does that mean they have this other type of BPA that's BPA-R or whatever it is? So, yeah, it's scary. We use plastics everywhere.
We do. And I actually this morning I was freaking out about my coffee maker because it's made entirely of plastic. The water that container it holds is plastic. The filter is plastic. The lid on the, you know, which basically I'm breastfeeding. So that's the fear that, you know, something that comes in contact with daily consumption or regular consumption is, you know, kind of what scares me.
And then yesterday I was looking into stainless steel sippy cups because I'm paranoid about all of this. And I started thinking about my water bottle that I use and have used since I was pregnant. It's one of those kind of, you know, stainless steel kind of, you know, refillable bottles. But when I was looking online, I realized that there are two different kinds of those metal bottles. There are aluminum bottles that are then lined with a, like kind of a plastic film like you would have on the inside of a, you know, like canned tomatoes or something like that. And then there are 100% stainless steel water bottles. And I have no idea what mine is. I mean, I bought it, you know, at like a Home Goods or something kind of cheap. So I'm thinking, oh crap, it's probably one of those aluminum BPA plastic line things. You know, I've been thinking that for the past 2 years, I've been drinking out of this safe vessel and, you know, I probably haven't. So I have a clean canteen in my Amazon cart right now that I'm going to be purchasing soon.
I feel like I feel a little left out of this because I don't feel, I feel like a bad mom for not being more worried. I really haven't worried about it just because I think I just don't know enough about it. And if I think and do my research, I feel like I'm going to be so paranoid. And I just, you know, for example,
ignorance is bliss sometimes.
There you go. When we were painting Reese's room, I went through all the paints and I wanted to make sure I got the right one. And then I thought about it. I'm like, oh my God, I grew up in a house probably where the paint, you know, wasn't great. And I turned out just fine. You know, my mom put salt in her food. Again, not great, but I turned out just fine. So I guess I have to really figure out where I need to pick and choose my battles. I just don't want to be Miss Worry War. And I kind of feel like a bad mom for not being more on top of that stuff. But that's why I have you girls.
Well, it's funny because my husband mentioned the same thing, you know, and I think that's sort of what we all look at. It's like, oh, we're all okay now. And so that's the only thing that worries me is that these are very slow acting. Let me just freak you all out.
Right.
No, I'm not going to go there. But, you know, I just worry about, you know, down, you know, the grand.
Right. And there's also, like my mom said recently, she was talking about how, you know, we were all put to sleep on our stomachs as babies.
I was just going to say that.
And, you know, we're all fine. But I had to explain to my mom, yes, we are all fine, but the incidence of SIDS has gone down dramatically since the Back to Sleep program started, which means that there are lots of babies who weren't just fine. So that's, I mean,
right,
Debbie Downer, but that's, you know, you can only do so much, but I think when there is something actionable that you can do, like for sure putting your baby to sleep on his back, that's the right thing to do. Whether or not you use glass bottles, there's a lot less research to support that. Mm-hmm. But I think that, that saying, oh, we all grew up with this XYZ and we're just fine, isn't always the most rational argument.
In fact, that's one thing that bugs me a lot. Especially one thing I was thinking about, actually, I was just walking back from Starbucks, is the my husband and I have been really actively trying to avoid sugar lately because of this other New York Times piece about sugar. And we hear a lot like, well, everything causes cancer. And that's an argument that I think is just not even a point. You can't say everything causes cancer, so don't worry about avoiding anything. Mm-hmm. You know, you do have to pick and choose the things that you want to avoid. You know, you can't live in a bubble. But at the same time, that one argument just really gets under my skin. Or when people say like, oh, you won't be able to keep him away from every danger. No, but I'm his mom and I'm going to keep him away from everything I can. That's bad. What's in my control.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree. I was out to lunch with some other moms, and including Jennifer yesterday. We were talking about juices and the sugar in juices, and I've decided not to give Reese any, at least for now. She likes water, so there's no point.
Yeah, I agree with that, actually. Yeah. And then you hear the same thing where people are like, well, they'll just get it other places. And I'm like, that's not a point.
Eventually, you know, if they want it, they want to give it a shot and they like it. Great. My kid likes juice, or, you know, there are different choices of juices out there. But at this point in their lives, what's the point, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I was reading something on Stroller Derby about chocolate milk. This is a bit of a tangent, but the LA Unified School District has decided to ban chocolate and strawberry milk because there's so much sugar in there that it's negating the benefits. But that means that 35% fewer kids are choosing to drink milk because they only have one option. And so people are like, well, we should just put the sugar back in. But the argument is you can get them calcium and vitamin D in other foods. They don't need this sugar-laden drink in order to get those nutrients. So I don't think you should be worried that they're just choosing not to drink milk, especially because we're the only mammals that drink milk past infancy. You know, you certainly can raise your child in a nutritious way without chocolate and strawberry milk. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to tangent.
Well said. There you go.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
I'm getting all worked up about sugar and plastics. Damn it.
Oh, no. Josh and I feel the same way. I mean, we don't put any salt in her food and no sugar. And I was talking about her first birthday, which we should probably have a podcast just on first birthdays. Oh, my gosh. They're all coming up.
Yeah.
Natalie can share her wisdom from her. Yeah.
I did feed him a cupcake with sugar in it.
Did he love it?
Oh, bad mother.
He wasn't sure about it at first, but once he kind of got it, had dug into it and realized how good it tasted, he was into it. Yeah.
But I think that we all live our lives with a lot of balance. None of us are, you know, on a completely like Coke and sugar and pastry type diets. Like we are trying to raise our children to you know, not just be balanced. You know, I'm going to allow Miles to have, you know, some vices every now and again, but, you know, I just don't want him to be that kid who'll eat nothing but chicken nuggets.
Oh my gosh.
But you know what? Even if he is, because I don't think I ate anything other than a hamburger at a restaurant until I was 18 years old. and I grew up with Twinkies and Ding Dongs, and I mean, I ate crap. And you know what? Now I eat pretty well. So I think that even if our kids do end up being the picky eaters that we're trying to avoid them being, that it doesn't mean that they're going to be obese or that they're going to make bad choices for the rest of their lives. They just, you know, it might be a phase and they might move on. So that's, you know, maybe there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah. Like I get so worried when I'll make him cauliflower and he doesn't want it. But if I mix it with other things, he'll eat it. And then I'm worried. I'm like, he doesn't like cauliflower. It's really bad. He's not going to be a good eater. And then I feel it and I'm like, why do I care if he doesn't want to eat a plate of cauliflower? If he'll eat it in some sort of medley of vegetables and other stuff and he just has a little at a time, I'm fine with it. I don't care that he doesn't want to eat a sole meal of cauliflower. You know what? I don't either.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as Natalie mentioned, I mean, when I first came to San Francisco, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago, I was a fried food gal, since I'm originally from the South. I would drink Cokes for breakfast.
That's so gross.
Tell the story about Big Mama and Coke, please. I love that story.
Oh, yeah. So when I went to kindergarten, I didn't realize that they didn't serve Cokes in the cafeteria. And I literally came home and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm having a Coca-Cola attack. They didn't have any Cokes at school.
At 6 years old.
6 years old, yeah.
That's so cute.
And yeah, I'm here today and I think I have a well-balanced diet and I like to work out and all that good stuff. So I think, you know, it's fine. It's just starting now. There's no reason to push it on them, I don't think.
Yeah, exactly. Well, speaking of being pushy, I wanted to talk about the things that I had written about on Mommy Beta most recently. And the most recent thing I was writing about was picking up your baby too much and spoiling your baby too much. And so after our little get-together last week at my mom's house, my sister was there and she goes, you always pick him up. The other moms are okay with letting their kids, you know, play and touch each other and play with their toys. But you are the one who's constantly going to scoop him up. And I just, you know, he's not around other kids all that much here in New York. So I was afraid he was going to poke one of them or he sort of grabbed a handful of Reese's hair. There's so much of it. And
I did a little more than that.
So I just kept picking him up. And then I went and I was like, Lindsay, you're smoking crack. That's my sister. I was like, that's not true. And then we watched those videos. I'm like, yeah, I am doing that. Yeah. So then I'm worried about that I'm just being coddling and that he won't know how to, you know, wipe his own butt or balance his checkbook by the time he's 20, because all I'm doing is coddling him. So what do you guys think?
I think there's a balance. And I always go back to saying, you have to do what works for you guys. You know, and if he wants to be in your arms, that's great. And it's not like you're, you know, sheltering him. He has tons of independence in other ways. I think you should just do whatever feels right and whatever works for you guys. You know, for example, I work on putting Reese down each day because at one point I couldn't put her down for a minute. She'd scream. And it took me a good 2 months. And now I can leave her and she'll play by herself for up, you know, 30 to 45 minutes while I'm cleaning the kitchen or making lunch or just doing whatever. But she's very good at that. But we worked at it and that's what works for us. So I don't think you should worry about what other people say and just kind of do what feels right to you. And he's going to be fine.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, I hear, like my mother-in-law said the other day, she's like, you know, baby shouldn't be held all the time. And I'm like, of course I do know that. But, you know, if he looks like there's something that he may be uneasy about, then mommy is what makes him more easy. So I know I should not indulge his every whim, and that's not the way I plan to be. But, you know, then seeing you girls, we're so, you know, oh, good, let them play together. And maybe it's because maybe mommy needs more play dates more than mine.
Playdates are for mommy at this age, mostly.
Yeah.
And I find myself, I definitely have had to make a concerted effort not to go to him every time he is struggling with something. I read something recently, I don't remember where it was, that talked about that it's good to let your baby experience frustration. And, you know, if they're trying to accomplish a task, they're trying to put a ball into a cup, or they're trying to climb over something, that it's good to let them kind of work through that on their own. You know, if they get to the point where they're, you know, really upset, then of course you help them through it. But, you know, if you can kind of demonstrate the thing and then let them do it on their own, that's kind of the ideal situation, because not only are they figuring it out, but they're also getting the confidence from having accomplished that thing. So that's something that I've really had to make an effort to do. And like when we go to the park, I really try to, now that he's very mobile, I set him down and I kind of let him do his thing. And I try to give him about, you know, 15 feet between me and him. You know, I can still get to him if he's about to hurt himself or something like that. But I let him go, you know, climb up this. Well, if he's climbing up the stairs, I'm usually right behind him. But, you know, he's going, he's playing with sticks or rocks or whatever. As long as I can see him, I can tell he's not putting things in his mouth. I know he's safe. And it's really kind of neat because every, you know, minute or so, he'll look back over his shoulder and he'll look at me and he'll make eye contact and he'll, you know, look for a little reassurance. And then, you know, I smile at him, tell him he's doing a great job, and he goes back to playing. And I think it's something that is important to their development. So if you can, you know, if you're in a safe place, to just be mindful of it and just know that it's good for him to get a little bit of independence and confidence building time on his own.
I like what you said, Natalie, about the frustration, because I had to work on that too, because I would run to her every time she needed help, opening a book or picking up something that she couldn't quite grasp yet. And my mom mentioned it to me that I need to let her work it out on her own. Otherwise, every time she gets frustrated, she's going to cry and she's going to look for mommy to come save her, to come help her. So I do. I give her just like a minute or two. And then if she gets really, really worked up, I come in and help her out. But she's gotten a lot better of just kind of maneuvering and figuring things out on her own. So thanks for bringing that up. It's a good reminder.
Yeah, you guys make me feel like a bad mom because I'm always trying to let Elle kind of work through things. For some reason, she really never really wanted to roll over, or hasn't really necessarily done it, you know, more than 5 times. So I'm always like, okay, you can do it. Roll over, you know, until, not that she gets to be in screaming fits or anything like that. But, you know, just letting her hang out on her own, or, you know, and now she kind of just dives in for the front thing, you know, sitting down and then going forward on her knees, which...
she's going to be crawling any day.
Yeah, it's one of those things I'm looking forward to and also fearing. So, yeah, but I, you know, I
just seeing Miles, Natalie, I really thought he was just such a healthy, happy little boy. And the videos you send over just amaze me on how, you know, quick he's catching on to things. So he didn't seem, you know, seem like you were over coddling him or anything like that. So
I agree.
You know, I think maybe you were just saving him from a full makeout session with Reese.
That's true. I'm still traumatized from
that. I think my husband, Josh, is still traumatized. I got home and I forgot to tell you, ladies, he really was a little bit distraught. And I'm like, Josh, she's a baby. Miles is a baby. He's like, I just, you know, it was really hard for me to see that. And I didn't know if he was kidding or not because, you know, he's very, very balanced. I mean, you know, I'm kind of the crazy roller coaster, never know what type of day is. And he's always even keel. So for him to come and say that, I didn't know if he was serious. And he's like, yeah, it was really hard. I'm like, okay, sweetheart, you're going to have to get over it because she's 9 months and she has a lot of kissing ahead of her.
And it wasn't because he felt like some sort of baby sexual urge or something. He was really expressing his genuine emotion that he likes her in the same way he likes his mommy.
Oh, my God.
That was so sweet. Josh, it looked like a little old married couple sitting there. He's like arm around her.
And he leaned in so gently.
I've ever seen. And he was so gentle. And Reese just kind of was like, oh, okay, this is nice. It was so sweet.
Yeah.
This is new.
She knows a man who'll take care of her.
So she was kissing Beth last week. So yeah. Or the week before that.
No, I think Beth was kissing Reese.
Yeah, actually, I agree with that.
No, you guys had to be there.
I was there. I took the picture.
She's just like her mama. Nice big southern smoochies. But that's actually what I thought of Elle, too. I thought, wow, what a calm little baby just sitting there playing with their toys, looking around like, good, my mama's across the room. I'm just fine. She's the most chill little thing. So I think all of you have really well-behaved babies. We'll probably have little demons for our second ones because our first ones are so good.
I make for interesting podcast. Because the first 4 months were awful for me. So I hope the first 4 months are great. But then because Reese turned into an awesome little, is she a toddler yet? Almost.
Not quite yet.
Not quite yet. Okay. So she after the first 4 months, she turned into this amazing baby. So I'd rather have it hard. Never mind. I take that back. The second one can be exactly the same. I know what I'm getting into.
It's better to have a hard 4 months versus a hard, you know, 8 years or
yeah, whatever. That's true. That's
45 years.
Well, we have no idea what's in for us next. So, you know.
No.
Anyway, well, let's move on to our mommy of the month. And Alex, you took the lead on this first one. So why don't you go ahead and explain what this is and explain how our listeners and viewers can and readers can get involved.
Yeah. So speaking of having a hard time, we all of us mommy babies were just thinking about how motherhood is just so special. And there are so many moms who should just be acknowledged for that. So each month we'll be announcing a mommy of the month where we'll feature one special mommy. And nominations or winners will receive $20, a $20 Starbucks card, compliments of us. And nominations for May's Mommy of the Month are being accepted now through May 31st. And check out the blog because Jennifer just posted this week more information about how to enter. And I do want to congratulate April's Mommy of the Month, Leah Bakes. She has a 3.5 little girl and just a wonderful husband who nominated her. And oh my gosh, she is my inspiration. She is a full-time mommy. She goes to school full time. She works part time. So she has no time to herself. Nap times, and during nap time, she's doing schoolwork, laundry, dishes, cooking. So she's just my inspiration. I'm sure an inspiration to all of us. And so she is our winner. I want to congratulate her.
Indeed. So we're looking forward to hearing your stories as well, because I think I speak for most of us when I say motherhood is, it's beautiful in ways that I didn't expect, but it's hard in ways that I didn't expect as well. And so I'm always looking for confirmation that it's not just hard for me. And these are things that really help me so much when I see, wow, everyone's struggling with it. I'm not just a big mommy flunky.
Absolutely not. Natalie, what was that comment you said when talking, there are mothers who do less than or who are less perfect than me.
Oh, about how, yeah, it just makes me realize that, you know, I used to pride myself on being someone who didn't let anyone ever, didn't let anything fall through the cracks. I was just super organized. And now there's always something that I forgot. I'm constantly making lists of things I need to do and forgetting where the lists are. And I said, well, this is just very humbling because I realize what it's like to not be perfect anymore.
That made me feel so good. Oh, yeah. I was having a hard time that week because I forgot something and it wasn't like me, or I thought I forgot something. And that made me feel a ton better. Thank you.
Anytime. If you ever need any sort of inspiration on how to not be perfect, just look into my apartment.
Yeah. Or give me a call.
Okay. Also, a reward for our listeners and our readers. We do a weekly giveaway of products that have to do with being a mom or being a baby, a caregiver, or being a pregnant person. And we give away things that we just like. And these are not things that we buy. They're donated by the companies that make these things. And we do this every Friday. You'll see a new contest. All you have to do is comment in the blog and like us on Facebook. And we're giving away some really sweet things. Like, we just gave away a Beba baby cook, which is one of my favorite things. And I know Alex and Natalie and Jennifer, you guys all like your baby cooks. And then this week, we're giving away a breast pump. And that's an expensive thing. This is like a $300 item that you need if you're a new mom. So that is going to happen tomorrow. So make sure you're checking into mommybeta.com every Friday for that. So we're going to wrap up the show very quickly. I know we've got one baby up from nap time. So Alex is going to have to go soon. But we're just going to do a couple little more shares, and then we'll let y'all go. We're going to start off with little victories, which is something you might know if you listen to Daddy on Board. And this is just a weekly share of little tiny things that we give ourselves high fives for being a good mom and getting it done. So Jennifer, you want to share a little victory this week?
Sure. So we accomplished, I guess, a little milestone this past weekend. My husband was out of town at a bachelor party in Las Vegas on Mother's Day weekend.
For shame.
My nerves.
No, he made up for it. He treated me very special when he got home. And he treats me special every day. So I can't complain. But our little victory was I actually had just decided to go on a little wine tasting excursion with my girlfriends. I hadn't done this since before I became pregnant. I can't even remember how long ago it was. So I left the baby with her grandmas for the longest period of time that I had done since she'd been born. And she did great. And grandma had a great time. And it was just really nice to be able to go out and catch up with my girlfriends and then, you know, of course, come home to my baby. But I was happy to know that, you know, I can do that kind of thing now.
Congratulations,
yay,
Jennifer.
That's awesome. A big one. Congratulations.
Good job. This weekend,
does it make you want to do it again?
Yeah, I mean, definitely love to go out with my girlfriends again. But, you know, it also makes me cherish the weekends that I have home with my baby. But I had an amazing time. It was so much fun. But yeah, down the road.
Nice.
Mommy Beta wine tasting.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Don't get us on wine. Don't get us on wine.
Yeah, there were many emails that went around last night about wine. Okay, speaking of wine, this has nothing to do with wine. But Parenting Heroes is another little segment we're going to do. And Natalie's going to share with us someone that just inspired us in the last few weeks. And she will tell us that. And maybe we'll all be inspired too.
Great. So I was up in Tahoe with my family over Mother's Day weekend. And I have a big family. I have my grandma, I'm very lucky, is still alive. She's 88. And she has 6 kids, 3 boys and 3 girls. And they were all up in Tahoe this weekend. And it's just, she just is incredibly inspiring to me because she raised 6 kids. She never drove. I mean, can you imagine having one kid and not being able to drive? She never drove. She has 6 very, very successful, polite, nice, just genuine children. And I'm amazed that she was able to accomplish that. Of course, you know, she had help from my grandfather, but it was a little bit of a different situation back then. It wasn't, you know, kind of a 50-50 share like a lot of us enjoy. She was definitely the primary caregiver. And just to be able to do that and to be able to still enjoy her family as much as she does, she gets on the floor with Dominic and plays with him at 88. And wow. I just, it's inspiring to me that she was able to give so much to her kids and now is able to kind of reap the rewards of having such a wonderful family that surrounds her. So that's something that's inspiring to me. And I hope I can have something similar, although I don't think I can handle having six kids.
Oh, jeez.
That's impressive.
Yeah, definitely impressive. Okay. And then our last little segment is called Working on It. These are things we want to improve that we might know that we want to do a little differently, things that we want to give ourselves a better grade on soon or eventually, like my not picking up my kid every 5 seconds. So Alex is going to share another one.
Yes. Something I've been working on my entire life is balance. It used to be work-life balance, and now it's baby life balance. Since Reese, I haven't really had a ton of extra time to, or I haven't had time to fit in or made time to fit in exercising and cooking healthy dinners and seeing friends. So over the past couple of months, I have gradually reintroduce these things back into my life, whether it's a quick coffee with a girlfriend or after they get off work, just a quick happy hour saying hello and goodbye, because then I have to get home to put Reese in. But I've figured out ways to reincorporate them into my life, and I'm feeling so much better because of it. And it's just a reminder for everybody just to, we sometimes or a lot of oftentimes get off track and off balance, and just to kind of step back and figure out what's missing and figure out a way to include it back in your life.
Exactly. Well, thank you for that reminder. That's going to wrap up our show. Does anyone else have anything else they want to share? Any funny anecdotes?
I think we have plenty, but we'll cut it short
for Reese's sake.
Speak now or forever hold your peace. Well, we will be back next week with more of the Mommy Beta Show. Thank you for being patient with our first episode. And this one's in the can. Remember, you can write to us at mb@mommybeta.com. You can find us on Mommy Beta Facebook. We have a fan page there. Or you can tweet us at Mommy Beta, all one word. And, send a signal up in smoke, because sometimes that's what you need to do when you're a mom. Thanks for listening, and join us next week.
Ta-ta.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.